The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
As we introduce Mr. Chuck Gordon, Roderick Chuck Gordon, born Roderick Gordon, is a Lavantil-born artist known for his contributions to the calypso and soca music genres. He has won the Lord Bryner Independence Calypso Monarch Competition in 2012 and the National Calypso Monarch Competitions in 2015 and 2016. Gordon has performed in the finals of the National Calypso Monarch and the International Groovy Soca Monarch, and he holds an MA in Human Resource Management from the Arthur Lockjaw Graduate School of Business. Now, I guess that's something that you didn't know about Chuck Gordon. Well, we used to call him Chucky. He's graduated now to Mr. Gordon. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Good morning to you. Good morning, good morning. Let's see if you're there still. Good morning.
You hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you loud and clear.
All right. Great, great, great.
So how are you going?
Good, I good. This is an interesting moment. And I just look at the poetry in life sometimes. Mm-hmm. So this is my first time on Freedom. And it's so interesting that it's the first interview after the semifinals, mm-hmm. when we're struggling for our freedoms now. So it's a very synchronistic moment in this time.
I know.
Up Freedom. Pleasant good morning to everybody on Freedom.
So
the vibes.
Let's establish exactly what are your queries, how you feel after the semis, because there's been a lot of outcry. Why isn't Chuck Gordon in the finals, at least as a reserve? How it is he performed well, you know, the comments from the judges said so, you know, what was the mix-up? Let's clear the scene.
Well, let me start by the preliminary round. Preliminary rounds, out of the 200 and something odd preliminary entrants, which would have spanned across Trinidad and Tobago, I placed third, right?
Mm-hmm.
So already it suggests that from judging criteria, the song met the judging criteria and was valued by the judges.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the semifinal round, there are some grave discrepancies in the scoring, right? I posted my results, I posted my scores, which Tuko emailed to me on social media, so people are free to go on my social media page,
mm-hmm.
on Facebook and on Instagram, and they can view the scores. But there's like a 40 mark disparity between the top judges,
mm-hmm.
and who judges in particular who marked me down well in the 50s. Now, I mean, any judge can mark you at any point. I mean, it's a competition, it's subject to interpretation, but the discrepancy is kind of glaring.
Mm-hmm.
The disparity is kind of glaring. So it kind of suggests to me and a lot of the other Calypsonians who sang political songs, we compared our scores, and it is the same two judges who marked all of us down in the 50s. And the way how the judging goes, they take all the high and low. So one person, if you're scoring in the 90s, which I did,
mm-hmm.
they will take off the high and they will take off the low. But if somebody else scores you so low down, then it's impossible for you to make it to the final.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it suggests to me that there's some level of foul play reflected in the way the judging. I don't want to impute improper motives onto the organization.
Right, yeah.
But it is glaring. And the fact that all the political songs, all the commentary songs to that extent were marked down and were left out, it speaks to some ulterior motive.
Now, before the semifinals, the conversation and the statement released by Tuko gave a kind of indication of how the semifinals, the tone of it was going to go, you know. Because from what I recognize and seen in the papers, Tuko distanced themselves from the idea that the event was going to be used or has been used as a political platform. Do you agree with that? And let's go further into the role of the Calypsonian, because you brought it up in your song as well. You know, how you feel about that and Tuko's response?
So objectively speaking, Tuko tried to starve off the idea that they are representing a political party, which is fair in my mind to say. We are organization, we are administrator of Calypsos, and part of their statement also reflected that the Calypsonians are free to express themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think there was a bit of sensationalism regarding the media houses taking up Tuco's statement in the way that it did. Because I read the statement and occur to me that that was the position that Tuco took. I think it's the media took it to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for me, that is not the issue. The issue for me is the fact that it appears that the organization is compromised now in relation to the competition. And to your question, even if an administration or a government is pressuring you, if I am the president of Tuco, I am going to hold true to the root and the tradition of the art form. It is to remain objective. It was designed by the spiritual forces, by the consciousness of our ancestors, to be a form of protest and resistance, mockery of the oppressors, mockery of the masters, holding them to account, humanizing them, de-pedestalizing them. That is the work. So anytime you subject yourself to interference, you are moving away from that spirit, which is what is happening in terms of the response of the people. Because for the first time, it is extremely glaring. I mean, I'm not saying because I got left out. It's glaring. Mm-hmm. Everybody's seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is happening with the organization, it is totally counter to the purpose and intent of the Calypsonian. Their statement, for me, objectively speaking, was sensationalized. But what happened subsequently, it leaving a really sour taste in people's mouth. And it is obvious.
Now, the thing is the sensationalism or the role of the media, I think, mm-hmm. understanding the role of the Calypsonian was to open the conversation to remind persons that this has been something, way of tradition, as you said, to hold them accountable, even if they can't get into the office and create the changes or write the bills or put it before Parliament. This was the way the people sounded off their dissatisfaction or satisfaction with what was happening. So to remind persons and to remind the public to be a part of the conversation, I think that was the rule that try to enforce here.
Yeah, and I will adjust my previous statement to say you're correct. And also, I don't think that Tuco has done a good enough job of impressing that exact point into people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
Saying to the population, listen, this is what Calypso is, regardless of who is in power. I mean, look, last year, just yesterday, I was lamenting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Allen outed Keith Rowley. It was a overt criticism, direct, and he played second in the Monarch under the former administration. I mean, my song was anti-PNM last year when I said, look, the press. Because I was really interested in seeing something different.
Mm-hmm.
I stand firm on my role as a Calypsonian to not be partisan. I support no party. Right? If you look at my Calypsos for the past year, it has always been critical of governance and the system. From Matson to Charles E. to Look the Press. So it is now the responsibility of the organization to stand firm and represent the role of the Calypsonian, and they're not doing that. It's obvious.
Now, the thing is, the history has proven and shown that no matter the administration, they've been Calypsonians who have upheld the idea of bringing to the fore the mirror, as you say, to let them know, and it's not necessarily political, it's what's happening in the space. It's what is the muse. It's the feeling of the country, and you're all right according to that. Now, just to understand that part, do you think that maybe the criteria for judging should change a little bit or do away with the political commentary altogether? Would that you know, ease people's unease about it?
I can't remember this artist, who is also a really great philosopher. The name that comes to mind. He said, if it is not political, it's not art. The purpose of art is to be political, and what is political?
Mm-hmm.
The lived experiences of people and the importance of which is to improve the human condition. The way that our industry has evolved was not the intention of our spiritual forces. We now get into this euphoric recreational party zone, and that is the most ascribed to thing, right? And we have forgotten the root and the tradition from which it evolved. And it is blinding the people, well, the majority of the people. Fortunately, unfortunately for me and for some others, but fortunately, maybe this experience will bring back the importance of Calypso to be. Yeah, but we can't do away with politics because art is politics.
Mm-hmm. And I think if it is that it doesn't evoke that emotion of either change or association, it hasn't done its job.
Exactly. Our current most ascribed to music, soca, is not doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
And that work needs to be done in terms of evolving the consciousness of the people. Maybe this is a critical point at which that might begin happening again. But to do away, Calypso is politics.
Mm-hmm.
The root, the etymology from which Calypso started is politics, is social and political commentary. And there's no way in which we can move away from that because we'll be losing ourselves and our spirit.
Well, let's get to another point right after this break, because you slightly talked about it, you know, revisiting Calypso for what it is. And many are saying, well, the Calypso tents are not making money. And you mentioned the soca side of it,
yeah,
and many artists,
yeah,
moving towards that. When we come,
yeah,
back, let's talk about the feasibility and the viability,
yeah,
of Calypso.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Your Saturdays with Gary V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in, you're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Gary V's infectious personality. Join the fun, fuel the conversation, speak your mind. Saturdays with Gary V on Freedom 106.5 FM.
If you're just joining me inside the Human Impact for the first hour, it started off with a bang. And we're talking to Chuck Gordon. And the semi-final round disappointment of not advancing, and the discussion of, you know, how Calypso has really changed in the last couple of years, and the idea,
yeah,
that it's being used only for political football, like we keep playing this political football all over again and again. Just before the break, I wanted to find out from you the notion that Calypso tents and the art form is dying, and that persons are not really thinking about being a Calypsonian. You know, the great analogy I got was, if you compare it to cricket, soca is the T20 and Calypso is the test cricket. And, you know, test cricket ain't really getting the crowds that it used to. But how you feel about that statement? What can we do to change that idea?
That is a fair analogy. And, I mean, it's a socio-cultural issue. I mean, test cricket for me, I prefer test cricket, but maybe I'm a purist.
Mm.
And maybe my attention span would allow me to be interested in test cricket and some of the qualities that a test cricketer requires. But separate and apart from that, I think there are two things that we have to consider where the death of the tents are concerned. So just to go back a little bit in terms of the separation between Calypso and soca, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's an artificial separation. And that separation only really started somewhere around the 90s with the advent of Soca Monarch and the urban radio creating the carnival switch, whereby the soca song started to get a little faster, started to get more focused on the party and the recreational side of things, and there became a separation between the soca man and the Calypsonian. If you remember, early 90s, you still had Sparrows and Black Stallion and Duke and Tambu mm-hmm. and David Rudd and all these people being both the Calypsonian and the party man. That separation became quite glaring. When that separation took place, the Calypso became, the response of the Calypso became very much focused solely on social and political issues, yes, but in a different form. It was always sociopolitical. Every Calypso monarch did a song that was sociopolitical in basis. But mm-hmm. a certain form started to prevail in the 90s, whereby it got slower, it got more lamentable. People like Chalk just came to the fore, who incidentally was instrumental in training the judges in a particular style while still competing for well over 20 years. Right? Take that how you want.
Mm. The point that was that's new knowledge. That informs a lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Correct. So when the Calypso now became slower, became dirgical, became lamentable, it lost its sting, it lost its entertainment value, and the competition started to reward a certain style of Calypso. And as a result, people didn't feel entertained by it, and it became quite boring and monotonous. You often hear people say, we could barely remember the Calypso monarchs of the past years. You can't even remember a line, right? And that mm-hmm. is a direct result of this devolution over time. My thing is, if we want to bring Calypso back to a certain level, there's the possibility of curating certain identity in Calypso again, which is to introduce entertainment value, which is to reward certain kinds of songs and create a certain kind of product. If everybody feels that the Calypso monarch criteria requires this, they're going to write for the competition. Mm. And that stifles creativity.
Mm-hmm.
My vision for myself in the context of my Jiggy Calypso is to keep the tradition alive, keep the picong, keep the satire, but still make it danceable. Maybe that is my particular talent because of my experience in soca and the ability mm-hmm. to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this carnival season in particular, every night, the audiences were extremely and thoroughly entertained with my performance. 3 to 4 encores every night. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you saw it with the response in Skinner Park. So there is a possibility of doing the work in a particular way to create entertainment value. And I have seen it now with this experience. A lot of people message and tell me the only reason they came to Skinner Park was to see me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, and that is because of the entertainment value in the song, because of what it did for people and the level of attractiveness that it garnered. So I think it is possible, but if we look at the history and how it evolved over time, we could also see what we need to do to bring it back to a certain level. And for me, the issue is the product of the Calypsos has to improve.
Now, if it is for the product to improve, the judging of that product has to change as well. So the criteria, tell us a little bit of how the criteria as it stands now and what parts were, you know, you had discrepancies or according to you in the layout of the judging.
Well, I don't have an issue with the criteria. The criteria is simply 3 main categories: music, lyrics, presentation. You really can't go wrong with that in a nutshell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's subcategories that they allot sub points for. So for example, in music, you have melody, arrangement, originality in melody. Nothing wrong with the criteria. It is the interpretation of the criteria and how it is applied in the context of different songs. So you as a judge must be able to see a big lyric song with 4 verses, 8-9 minutes long, as having the same value as a humorous ditty with wit and satire, and see it of equal value. But in the context of my omission and the other Calypsonians who we see in the trend, that is not the issue, because I told you the same lyrics and the same criteria, I came 3rd in the preliminary round.
Mm-hmm.
So that, so you understand, that means the judges in the preliminaries valued it highly. However, when it came to the semifinal, certain things went awry. Yeah, so I don't have an issue with the criteria in the way that it is currently structured.
Mm-hmm. So you feel more that the choice of your selections and what you chose to highlight in your song may have more of a heavier price for you because you got the crowd to be, a little more aware of how you see the situations and you were punished for it, you think?
But I mean, it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
It is clear. Obvious.
So how do we move beyond that bias then? How can we explain it, or how can you explain it for younger artists as well to present something? I don't even want to say pleases everybody, but how do we get away from that sort of treatment?
I think the only thing that we could do is the organization firstly has to start by standing firm and not subjecting themselves to any kind of influence or interference. And also, we need to ensure that the judges remain unbiased and unstinting in their resolve about Calypso and ensuring that there's a transparent, fair judging process. Because as it stands currently, the Calypso monarch is the space in which the Calypsonian plies their trade, the tent, and the Calypso monarch. So in order to re-pedestalize Calypso, it has to be done through stringent application in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
That is where it starts, one. And two, the Calypsonians in and of themselves need to begin doing more creative work, more songs that are enjoyable, but still holding on to the traditions of Calypso.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two foundation pillars from which I would start.
And to remember the mechanisms in which they used it too.
Yeah. So and the people now, I think it's an opportunity for the people to clamor for something better.
And I've got go ahead.
And I didn't want the song, it's not a Sour Grapes vibes, you know, because I have plenty years, I make finals, people feel I should have win, I ain't win. It had nothing to do with that. This time here, it's extremely glaring.
I wanted to get some comments from our listeners as well. One says, the artist is not at fault. The few fans of Calypso that remain, unfortunately, consist mainly of fans of a certain political party. And they expect a certain lyrical content and will only accept that product. Anything else will naturally be rejected. Another one says here, TNT is the greatest democracy because of Calypso and the freedom of expression it allows. Political Calypso is a mirror of the society and an opportunity to see through the eyes of the people our reality. Political Calypso is a social leveler, to attack it because of the message is in itself an attack on freedom of expression. Leave it alone. It's the people's response to governance and leadership to social issues, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking from that expression, it doesn't really matter which political space you are, quote unquote, attached to.
Yeah.
Let's take some calls.
I just want to kind of reflect on the first comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you know, operate with the mindset that it's only one part.
Just now, check. I think that there has been a little issue with your audio. We just lost you. Yes, much better. Yes. So if you could just repeat what it is you just said.
Yeah, I was saying that the first comment suggested that the Calypso fan base and supporters primarily support one party. But last year, under the PNM, Kurt Allen came second with an overtly anti-PNM song. Mm-hmm. I was in the finals with, not as overt, but an anti-PNM song as well. And people appreciated the commentary. So I think I don't want to carry on that narrative that the PNM is, the Calypso fan base is a PNM fan base. While to some extent it may be true, but it is not the entire truth, because when people do tasteful, tactful songs criticizing the PNM, it is accepted, it makes it to the finals, And we have not experienced this level of interference.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, there's been the opposite as well, where there've been artists, when the UNC was in power, made some scathing remarks towards them as well and got into the finals.
Yeah. You know? Myself included, I won with a song called the PM come out smelling like a rose. Mm-hmm. And we think, so there wasn't in the previous incarnation of this government, we didn't have this level of interference.
All right, let's
but now it has, yeah.
It is more obvious. Let's take some calls. 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Hello,
hey,
good morning.
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 How is everything? How is good this morning?
So far, so good. What's your comment or question?
Yeah, well, the government always had a partner to the carnival and all the competitions and things. But this is the first time that the government gets hands-on in everything. You understand? And this is not how Trinidad carnival should be all the competitions as well. That is just it.
All right. Thanks so much. Did you catch what he was saying?
No, I wasn't hearing clearly.
I think, call back, because I'm thinking the gist of it is that, you know, in this particular year, you're seeing persons really asking more questions and asking for, you know, a bigger space for whatever qualms or queries that they have to bring to the fore without any judgment, without any fear of reprisal for expressing that. And it seems to be a little higher this year. Good morning, Tusker. This is another message here. Good morning, Tusker. Would Mr. Gordon be inclined to share his opinion on who else was unfairly judged this past Saturday? I mean, he did mention it before, but I can ask him to repeat again.
Yeah, so just through communicating with some of my peers, we have Devon Seale, Dwayne O'Connor, all were marked down by the same two persons.
And, of course, we can't say who the judges are. I don't think you'll even know.
I posted it on my social media. The judges is public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Foucault places up who the judges are in all of their respective offices. It is announced on the competition day before the competition starts. That is no secret. The policy is that the judges are to be made public knowledge. And it's on my social media page as well.
So you can check out his social media handles for that information as well. Yeah. Now, if it is that we are to retain the role of the Calypsonian, can you restate what should happen for the competition to preserve and also to reserve the right of the Calypsonian to freely express themselves?
Yeah, two things. It would start by the organization, the governing body for Calypso, standing firm in their resolve as to their role and for the role of the Calypsonian, which is to starve off any attempt at interference. And secondly, I think the Calypso artists need to do their work in terms of improving their product, keeping the traditions of Hikong, satire, social commentary, so political commentary, satire, keeping those things alive, but bringing more entertainment value, focusing on audience experience as opposed to just criteria to satisfy the competition. I think those two things would go a long way in terms of, as I said, re-pedestalizing Calypso.
The thing is,
and of course, the people now, given this experience and the blatant manner in which the business was conducted, need to carry on the conversation and not allow it to be, as we see, as a 7-day wonder, a 9-day wonder, I ain't sure which number we just use now.
It's interchangeable. I like that you brought up the point of writing for competition rather than writing for creativity.
Yes.
How can you remind artists? Okay, so let's take it from your perspective. How do you write for creativity rather than competition?
Well, my process is, so I would write for myself. I would also collaborate with writers or a particular writer. But regardless of what I do, I sit down with my, because I also play music. So I would sit down with my guitar and I will establish a groove. And the focus of the groove at every turn, every juncture in the song, is to think about how people are going to respond to this, how they're going to experience it, the extent I can make them dance and the extent to which I can make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That is the primary focus at every stage of the process, from inception to when I go into studio. And it is simply that. Mm-hmm. Every lyric, every line, every turnover, every movement from verse to chorus, that's the focus.
All right. Well,
so, for example, one of the persons on radio on another frequency, after the competition, interviewed me and asked me about the structure of the song. I say, well, it's not the traditional calypso structure where between every verse and chorus you have to have a band chorus. Mm-hmm. I say, the way how I structure the song, I could go anywhere with the song and the band could follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is my experience in soca, but that's the focus, and that is what gives it the light feel and the entertainment value.
Well, Chuck, I know you ask Chucky, so I must say Chucky. Yes. But
I escaped that name.
Yeah, well, Mr. Gordon, all grown up now. Thank you so much for taking the time and, you know, coming to clarify how you really feel about the omission, and hoping that, yeah, you know, the conversation brings to light and brings changes as well. I appreciate you coming and talking to us.
You're welcome.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.